This is Michael Hansen. The Mind Web story this time is Look Homeward, Spaceman by Robert Silverberg. Copyright 1957 by Amazing Magazine. I guess this is the street, Paul thought. I'm back. It annoyed him that after 6 years in space, he was no longer quite sure where his home was. But this was the street, all right. The memories came flooding back. He remembered the houses of mottle-colored stone, the cracked and gnarled sidewalk, and the scraggly sycamore tree that marked his home. A pretty girl came around the corner. She was wearing softly glowing translucent slacks. And with her was a big old Dalmatian at the end of a radio leash.
Hi, Paul.
He wondered how she knew him. She didn't look like much past 17. And so she could have only been 11 or so when he had gone away. Yet she recognized him at once. He frowned and reached back into his memory. The Dalmatian might be the old Riley dog, he thought. And then the girl would be Nancy Riley. Paul approached his house and noted with amusement that the old woman who lived next door was still rocking on her porch, looking placidly out at nothing particular.
Hello, Paul. Nice weather, isn't it?
He did not even remember her name, but she knew him. Something was crazy here. How had all his memories escaped him? He mounted the familiar steps. He shuffled his feet on the doormat as he had been taught to do long years before, and straightening his hair, squaring his shoulders, clearing his throat, he rang the bell and waited. He heard the sound of someone coming to open the door. Would it be his mother or his brother, he wondered? Probably his brother, Jim. Mother most likely wasn't getting around too much anymore. Once more, he practiced the firm handshake he'd been preparing for his brother. I'll grab old Jim by the hand and squeeze till he yells. Who's there? Called a masculine voice. Why, me, Paul. I've come back for a furlough. Slowly, the door opened. Horror-stricken, Paul stared at the man who had opened the door. And the man inside calmly returned the glance. They stood there, frozen, looking at each other. Paul was looking at himself. Not quite himself, he decided, once the initial shock had worn off. It was a younger version of himself at the door. With narrower shoulders, a paler face, Paul was proud of his heavy space tan. The livid white scar across Paul's forehead did not mark the brow of the other man. He was shorter, softer looking. Who are you? Said the man inside the door. I could ask you the same question. He started to move inside the house, but the other Paul moved the door closed an inch or two with an imperceptible gesture. I'm Paul Robinson, Paul said. I used to live here. I've been in space 6 years, but now I'm home. Suppose you tell me now just what the hell is going on here. Pardon me, the other Paul said. I'm Paul Robinson, and I've never been away at all. Now, please go away before you disturb my mother. Your mother? Look, I don't know what kind of joke this is, but I've had enough of it. Now, get out of the way. He started to push his way past the other Paul into the house. Hey, gently, kid, said a voice from within. Paul stopped. This was a voice he did recognize. Now, don't make a scene. Jim. And he turned, anxious to be near someone he knew. So far, this innocent return to his home had held more terrors than his entire tour of space. Paul rushed to greet his older brother, but Jim dodged around him and went to the other Paul. And with a swift, sudden motion, Jim touched his hand to the other Paul's back, and the other Paul stiffened in mid-stride. A robot. A robot copy of me. Yes, said Jim, going to Paul for the first time. Paul looked at his older brother. The older brother he had grown up with, worshipped, fought with, finally left behind when the call to space came. He seized Jim's hand and shook hard, till Jim cried uncle. At last, Paul relaxed his grip. At last, at long last, I made you yell uncle, Jim. Jim shrugged. Well, the younger generation always wins eventually, Paul. I'm afraid space has made a man out of you. How long are you going to be home? I've got a 2-day leave. Yeah, a couple days, then we ship out again on the Rigel run. Jim was no longer the powerful giant of Paul's memories. He had become stooped in 6 years, so he was no longer as tall as Paul, and his forehead was higher. And there was a loneliness in his eyes that hit Paul hard. Jim had wanted so badly to go to space, but they had, long before, decided that only one of them could go, so their mother wouldn't be left alone. Everyone had thought it would be Jim to go, but Jim had waited for Paul to grow up so they could take the test together. And by then, Jim's reflexes weren't what they had once been, and Paul had easily outscored him. Jim had stayed here with his mother. Just the two of them in the old and dingy house with the 20th century furniture and the old style appliances and the ancient sycamore tree, while Paul had been to the Neb, Porcian, and the myriad other bright stars. The years had been hard on Jim. I'm having a friend drop in tomorrow for dinner before we go back to ship, Jim. Jack Fenner's the fellow. He's my bunkmate on the ship. But say, he turned to where the robot was standing, frozen in the shadows, a word caught on its plastic lips. Tell me, Jim, what that thing is doing here? It was a nightmare to find myself answering the door. Well, I bought him right after you left, Paul. It was pretty rough for a while. Mother missed you terribly the first week. She became ill, worrying about you. There was nothing about that in her letters. Oh, of course not. We'd never tell you. I wrote a lot of those letters myself, Paul. She was so sick that the doctors told me she wouldn't live unless you came back from space immediately. I didn't dare ask you to come back. I couldn't do that to my own brother, and so I had the robot double made. I told her that you were back, that your flight had been called off or something like that, and she accepted it. Paul sank into one of the deep, soft chairs and stared at the motionless replica of himself next to his brother. So, all these years, she's thought that I was right here. And that's why Nancy Riley said hello to me. And the old woman next door talked about the weather. Now, what happens...
Jim, who was that at the door?
You better come down here, Mother. I've got a surprise for you. What are you going to do, Jim? Suppose she asks me something I don't know. Shouldn't we hide the robot? No, this is the only way, Paul. I want her to see both of you together, so I can tell her the truth after all these years of pretending. She's well now. She can take it. But what happens after I go back? Will she still be willing to accept the robot? I know what I'm doing. Here she is. Paul looked up as his mother appeared. Hello, Mother. He faced her, glad to see her again. She didn't look much older. She'd hardly changed at all. Well, I'm home. She looked at him, studying the white scar on his forehead, he suspected, and then looked at the robot, and then back at him, and finally at Jim.
Jim, who is this?
This is Paul, Mother. He's been in space for 6 years. I bought this robot right after he left, so you wouldn't miss him too much. The shadows of the old house seemed to wrap around the three of them bleakly.
Is this true, Paul?
Well, Yes, Mother. He walked around the room, getting familiar with the old things, with the smell of home and the warmth of home.
You mean that you have coaxed me, Jim?
Mom, it was necessary.
Well, you did the right thing. It's good to have you back. Even if I've had you all along, you look wonderful, except for...
Well, this?
Yes.
I got the space cross for that. Natives on Deneb, they resisted our attempts to trade, and we showed them.
You were in a fight, Paul?
Yes, Mother. It was as if he had been in a schoolboy tussle, not a struggle with aliens half a sky away. As he stood there, the memory came flooding vividly back. He was in the midst of a sweeping field of bright red vegetation with sweat pouring off his back and making his uniform cling. The hot rays of Deneb came down. He was standing alone, watching the wiry green men advance. His heart was pounding, but he was unafraid. It was his guard duty, and he was going to stand it. Behind him was the gleaming bulk of the great ship and its sleeping crew. The Denebians came closer. "Get back," he had cried roughly. They ignored him. They were thin, humanoid men with long, grotesque skulls and deep-set, terrifying eyes. They came closer. Paul drew his gun and gestured with it. Then suddenly one of them leaped, and Paul felt the nauseous alien smell near him and then around him. He jabbed upward with the gun, fired and shoved. The corpse fell backward. And then they were all around him, kicking, scratching, screaming furiously. And Paul shouldered his way through them, took up his stand at the base of a towering drula tree, started firing into the gibbering horde. They dropped, but still kept coming. Then the ammunition was gone, and more Denebians kept pouring from the forest. Laying about him viciously with his gun butts, he crushed skulls and smashed alien faces with savage glee. They swarmed up and around him, and he felt a claw rip across his forehead. Blood streamed down into his eyes, and he was blind. But through the haze, he could see his crewmates coming at last to his rescue. When it was over, he was a hero, and he hadn't been afraid. Not half as afraid as he was back on Earth, in his own home, for no reason that he could discern. A sinister atmosphere hung over the house, and it worried Paul. He didn't like it. The situation made him uncomfortable. He sat down on the staircase next to his mother, hooking one long leg over the other and pulling up his shiny space grays. I have a 2-day leave.
Oh, fine, Paul. Oh, it's good to have you even for a little while. Come on, you must be hungry. You know, Paul, all these years I loved that machine like it was my own son. I never knew the difference. Science is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Where are you going when you ship out tomorrow?
Sirius, first, by overdrive, and then to Porcian, and back to Deneb for a little cleanup action, and then on to Rigel for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Mom, I'm having a bunkmate of mine here for dinner tomorrow. Before we go back, he'll tell you about Deneb.
Paul.
Yes, Mother?
Paul, do you have to go back to space?
What?
I mean it, Paul. When you leave tomorrow, I'll have only the robot again. I'll know he's not real. Anyway, he'll only be half of my son. I don't want the little boy always. I want the man who's been to space. Stay here with us. I'll fix up your room the way you used to have it. All your books, your records, the desk arranged the old way, even that luminous bedspread that you liked. 6 years in space ought to be enough.
Paul glared angrily at his brother. Why did Jim have to tell her the truth? Why not keep up the pretense?
I want you to give up space. I don't want a robot substitute anymore. I want my son.
You can't ask that of me, Mom. It's my life out there. I can't give it up now and tie myself down on Earth. I've left Earth for good.
Stay here with me, Paul.
Not even for you. It's not fair of you to ask me to give up something like that. Space is everything to me.
But you like it here, Paul? You'll forget space in a month.
I wish I hadn't come home at all. He walked to the window. The sun was just beginning to drop in the sky, and the distant spaceport was painted a dull orange by the dying day. He looked at the silver-red ships with their noses pointed to the skies. Why do you want to tie me down? I don't want you to suffer, but...
I know. It's the same old story. You've always been selfish, Paul. You've let your brother make every sacrifice for you, and you've never really shown any gratitude. You never wanted to obey me either. My wishes just meant nothing to you.
He looked from one figure to the other in anguish. Why were they torturing him? Why had this whole homecoming been such a nightmare? I can't let you do this to me. Paul walked toward the door and quickly strode through, passing the unconcerned robot, slamming the door hard. He reached the porch, paused, and stared bitterly at the quiet, small-town streets, wondering why they were doing this to him. It was harder to fight your mother than a whole world full of green Denebians. If I had known this would happen, Paul... Oh, forget it, Jim. I didn't know. Skip it, Jim. I know why you did it. You want me to stay here so you can go away somewhere, don't you? You're afraid to leave Mother alone with Robot Son, so you want to trap me into taking your place here. Well, no game, Jim. You've chosen your lot, and you've got it for keeps. And that's not it at all. You don't understand, Paul. I don't want to leave home. I can't leave. I've bound myself hand and foot. I've lived here all my life. This house is like a shell to me by now. I'm 35, Paul. I'm set in my ways, and, well, I can't break out. I can't tell you how much everything in this house means to me, Paul. Mother, the books, the furniture, even the robot. I can't tell you. Mrs. Robinson had made a lavish breakfast. All the things she remembered Paul loved, but they ate in stony silence. Paul kept his eyes on his plate, and she brought him the food without saying anything. Abruptly, he got up and went to his old room. He wandered around in it, getting acquainted again with the things he had loved years before, playing one of his favorite records, sitting in his favorite chair. Then he came back down. Oh, Mother, why don't you have an electronic duster?
This gives me something to do when I'm bored. What time is your bunkmate getting here?
Fenner? Oh, well, I don't really know. He was in Wilmette visiting his family, and he'll probably get through here pretty soon. Blast off is tomorrow morning at 8, and we have to be on board ship tonight at 22 sharp.
That means that you'll have to leave here about 20 to get to the spaceport on time, doesn't it?
My room looked wonderful, Mom. It was just the way it always did.
I thought you'd like it. Did you sleep well?
Oh, the best. Nothing like sleeping at home after 6 years of spaceship cots.
No. Nothing like it.
They were silent. The doorbell finally ended the silence when it had grown almost too tight to bear. Paul opened the door, and Jack Fenner burst through. He was a short, wiry man, smiling broadly with thin, space-tanned features and a keen-pointed nose. He wore a pair of rumpled space grays.
You must be Mrs. Robinson. Gunner's always talking about you.
Gunner?
Yeah, didn't he tell you? That's what we named him after the Deneb business. He didn't tell us much about Deneb.
Fenner glanced at Jim.
Oh, hi. You must be Gunner's brother, Jim. The one who taught him how to use a gun?
That's right. Paul frowned.
You mean... He didn't tell you about Deneb? The first man in our ship to win a space cross, and he didn't tell you? Why, when those Denebians came at us, he held them off single-handed with two handguns till his ammo ran out, and then he used the guns as clubs till we got out to help him.
Well, you didn't tell me, Paul.
I didn't want to upset you. You mean you didn't know your son was a hero? Well, hell, Gunner, you weren't so modest on ship. Every time we...
Jack.
But you told that story from one end of space to the other, Paul. I don't think you ever even took the medal off. I'll bet you took showers with that thing pinned to your skin. You're so proud of it. So you're a hero, Paul. You didn't say much about it.
Paul deliberately ignored his brother's question and turned to Fenner.
How's your family, Jack? Well, there's not much of it, you know, just my aunt and my kid brother. But my brother just passed his number one. He'll be shipping out for Centauri next month. My aunt's going to be all alone then. It's rough when you have someone in space like that and you're all alone at home like my aunt, except for cats, that is. She's got two big Persians. They're going to be like children for her now that my brother is leaving. Say, Mrs. Robinson, why don't you ring up my aunt and get together sometime? I think you like her. Here's her number, Mrs. Grace Fenner over in Wilmette. Call her up sometime. She loves having guests, and she'll love having Gunner's mother especially.
Well, thank you, Jack. I will get in touch with her. But you must be awfully hungry, Jack. Let's have dinner now and talk later.
Yeah, that'll be fine. You know, I've been hearing about your cooking all the way from Deneb back.
After the meal, with the sun well below the horizon, Fenner stood up, stretched contentedly, and said,
Well, I hate to rush off like this, but I got another stop before I get back to the ship. Thanks a lot for everything, Mrs. Robinson. I sure intend to take you up on that repeat invitation next time we're down Earth. So long, Jim.
Then he turned to Paul.
Well, guess I'll be seeing you at 22, board ship, Gunner. See you then.
No, you won't.
What? You're not transferring, are you?
No, I'm pensioning out. I've decided to stay here at home, Jack. I've had my fling in space, and now I'm going to settle down.
Well, you got to be kidding.
You're not going back?
No.
Yes, said Jim. Yes, it's all a little joke. You see, Paul just wanted to see what your reaction would be. He told me about this before. He's going.
He kicked Paul in the leg surreptitiously hard, and Paul barely managed to conceal a wince. He flicked a glance at Jim. Jim was shaking his head in a way that Paul understood.
Just a little joke. Of course, I'm going back.
But I'm willing to stay, he thought.
Of course you're going back. Heroes never quit, do they? You'll have to finish the job on Deneb and then stop by here for another couple of meals, and I'll be waiting. Now, you better start packing your things. You wouldn't want to be late for blastoff.
Sunup came, and the ships in the far-off spaceport gleamed bright against the cloudless blue sky. Mrs. Robinson stared through the open window, squinting a little because the spaceport was so far away and hard to see in the morning light. She turned. Jim was standing behind her. She looked past him at the empty apartment, at Paul's deserted room with the pajamas lying crumpled on the bed.
Well, our little game is over. I'm glad.
I'm glad, too, Jim said. It was interesting watching Paul react. His face dropped a mile when his double answered the door. But he's not the same old selfish Paul anymore. He's grown up. I thought he was at first, but he meant it when he said he was quitting. He had me worried for a minute. Suppose he had kept to it and actually stayed here with us.
Well, it would have complicated things terribly. It would have destroyed our nice routine completely. Oh, well. Suppose we go downstairs and get the poor robot working again. You'll be awfully stiff after 2 days of being shut off.
They went downstairs, mother and son. And Jim took out the key and activated the Paul robot. The robot finished the word he had to say and stretched his limbs. There. Now the family is complete again. It's good to be moving, said the Paul robot.
You'd better renew my charge too, Jim. I'll be running down any day now.
He opened the panel in her back and touched the key to the charging stud.
There you are. Enough energy to keep you going for weeks, Mother.
Thank you.
He put his arms around his mother and his brother.
Now we can get back into our regular family routine again until the next time Paul has a furlough. And then we can play the game again.
He looked at the Paul robot and the mother robot and at the cozy four walls that bounded his little world. It was good to have the mother and brother and the home he loved all the rest of his life. He smiled warmly and thought of poor Paul fighting for his life on those hot, uncomfortable planets. Jim drew them closer to him.
I can't tell you how much you mean to me, both of you.
Spaceman, a story by Robert Silverberg, copyright 1957, by Amazing Magazine. I'm Michael Hansen. Reading with me was Jay Fitz. Technical operation for this program by Mike Burns. Mindwebs is a production of WHA Radio, Madison.